You're listening to American Timelines by History Forgers, the greatest podcast ever.
Totally 80s.
So now I'm obsessed with time. Come on, tell me about the time. Had it all in my head tonight. Had the time of my
Welcome to another episode of
American Timelines.
I'm Amy.
I'm Barney Gilligan.
That's Joe.
I'm Barney Gilligan, the original bassist for Barney Gilligan.
Anyway,
I'm actually Joe. I'm not.
We are here to talk about the pop culture and.
If you're new to American Timelines, what we do is we talk about American culture year by year. Each episode we pick a different year.
Yes.
We're on 1987. We're halfway through 1987. And we talk about crazy things that happened in pop culture and music and movies and
crime.
Can you believe this happened? And then Amy has to bring in an awful, creepy crime. And just to set you at the scene, just to let you feel, put yourself in the year it happened while she's talking about a crime, I'll tell you what was on TV.
I'll tell you what
was going on in the news. I'll tell you who was getting their Hollywood star on the Walk of Fame while a brutal murder was happening. So you can be like, oh, yeah, I see. That's when Billy Dee Williams had his, you know, was getting a star. I remember that. So that's when that murder happened. Oh, and it'll be like context for you.
That's right. Yep, we
got it. People love it. People love it. It's a hit. So tell all your friends because your friends will all love it. And the thing is, these podcasts, they're not time, like you can watch them forever, listen to them forever.
They're time capsules.
They're time capsules because we're talking about things in history. So 10 years from now, you can still listen to it. This is episode 23. So those of you who have listened from episode one, hey, thank you because you're somebody.
All right, let's get into it.
Okay, so we got to finish 87. So we left off. If you remember, just think back, just some of you a week
or
ago.
We're supposed to say, we suggest you go back and listen to the first part of 1987.
Yes, if you haven't listened
to... We'll be waiting for you.
If you haven't listened to our previous 23 episodes, we recommend you go back and listen to all of them. And good luck not gouging your eyes out. Go back to one. No, or at least listen to the last few. I don't know. Do whatever you want. I honestly don't give a rat's ass because you really don't have to listen to them. But what we talked about in the last episode is...
Nobody has to.
Because your crime's over, right?
Yeah.
So we don't have to rehash that.
No, I have a new story for
this. And you have another crime. Okay, what we did, we were just got done talking about when Michael Caine admitted that he knew Jaws was stupid and shitty, and he did it anyway. Not the first Jaws. It was like Jaws 4, The Revenge.
Oh.
And Heart Alone was the number one song at the time. And so that's where we left off. It was the end of July of 1987. It was the summer of love.
Sultry.
So many people who grew up in the 80s, some people got married in the 80s. They just remember this time of having lots of sex. But for me, I was a young guy, but I remember really getting into movies and music and stuff. And the new number one song on August 1st, 1987, was by none other than Bob Seger.
Night Moves.
Nope. Shake down, break down, everybody bump and
down. Bob Seger did that?
Break down, shake down, you're busted.
That was Bob Seger?
Yeah, it was actually... It was written for somebody else, and they gave it to Bob Seger. I didn't put this in my notes, but it was written for, like, I want to say Bruce Hornsby or somebody, and they gave it to Bob Seger.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a Bob Seger song.
Yeah, well, he did it.
All right.
It was written by one of those many guys who should be in the Eagles, Steve Winwood or Bruce Hornsby or Glenn Frey or one of those guys. I think Bruce Hornsby.
All right, what else?
Then, also on that same day.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. Not that same day. A couple days later. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, August 5th, 1987.
Yeah.
Do you remember an actor by the name of, I don't know, Matthew Broderick?
Yes.
Remember him from Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yes.
Well, he killed two women in 1987 while on vacation in Ireland.
What?
Yep. He killed two women due to careless driving. He was ordered to pay $175 and serve no time in prison.
So you have the crime story this time.
On August 5th, 1987, while driving a rented BMW in Enniskillen, Northern Ireland. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. Enniskillen.
Probably not. So
he was driving a rented BMW in Enniskillen.
Nope.
Enniskillen, Northern Ireland. Broderick crossed into the wrong lane and collided head-on with a Volvo driven by Anna Gallagher, who was 30 years old.
What?
And she was accompanied by her mother, Margaret Doherty, 63 years old. They were wonderful people, and they would give the skin off the back for everyone in the world, and Matthew Broderick brutally killed him.
Oh, I thought that was part of the what no, you were that's reading.
Not. He killed them both instantly. He was vacationing with Jennifer Gray.
Did you say he was going the wrong way?
He swerved into their lane.
Oh.
And hit him head-on. He was vacationing with Jennifer Gray, whom he began dating in a semi-secrecy. He began dating her
so this was
in semi-secrecy.
During Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
During the filming of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. The crash publicly revealing their relationship. He had a fractured leg and ribs and a concussion and a collapsed lung. She received minor injuries, including whiplash.
Jennifer Gray?
Jennifer Gray did, yep. Broderick told police, even though he, you know, she played his brother.
Yeah.
She played his sister.
Yeah. They were.
He played her brother. Broderick told police he had no recollection of the crash and did not know why he was in the wrong lane. I don't remember the day. I don't remember even getting up in the morning. I don't remember making my bed. What I first remember is waking up in the hospital with a very strange feeling going on in my leg. He was charged with causing death by dangerous driving and faced up to 5 years in prison, but was later convicted of the lesser charge of careless driving and fined $175.
From 5 years in prison to $175?
That's all he paid, yep. The victim's son and brother, Martin Doherty, called the verdict a travesty of justice. Well, Matthew Broderick is a rich superstar, so he doesn't
goes
have to
and crashes
laws,
head you know. On and kills two people.
Yep.
And that was during his stardom.
During filming of Ferris Bueller's
I don't remember hearing about this at all.
Yeah, well.
Do you?
You must have been just too busy gallivanting around with men.
No, that's usually something that you would have heard.
Yeah, you would have heard about that, but I vaguely remember something about that, but
that's
not
weird.
This. But yeah, when I read that, I was like, holy crap.
That's one of the ones you were excited to talk about.
Yeah, because it was a weird thing that I didn't think you knew about, but super famous rich people don't have to
Yeah, I know.
They don't have the same consequences as
right.
us.
Of course not.
So they're not like us.
So
not like
tell,
people
me, tell me again where
like
that
us.
Happened.
Ireland.
Oh my gosh.
Remember Northern Ireland?
Yeah.
I said the city, but you're like, yeah.
That city was not correctly said.
Enniskillen.
Okay. So that's bizarre.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Matthew Broderick, next time you watch Biloxi Blues, you can just remember that he murdered people.
Yeah.
Friday, August 7th, 1987 was the year the live-action He-Man movie came out.
I don't recall that.
And the year was Dolph Lundgren played him. It was terrible. It was
no,
awful.
I don't recall that at all.
It was stupid. It was like He-Man came to Earth, like on a spaceship or something, which is dumb.
That's dumb.
He-Man's not on Earth. It was awful. But anyway, the year that was released, sales of He-Man toys dropped 98%.
They dropped?
Dropped, falling from $400 million in 1986 to only $7 million.
So people were pissed about that movie.
It was such a terrible movie. They ruined it all. They ruined it all by doing that.
Oh, wow.
If they would have done it right, it would have been good. And then on August 8th, 1987, there's a new number one song. This one's by U2. Another terrible song by U2. Maybe it's a good. Maybe you like it.
I still
haven't found what I'm looking for.
Am I right?
Yep.
Okay.
And I still
this is a good song.
Haven't found.
Yeah, that's a pretty good song.
Yeah, people like it. Whatever.
It's enjoyable. I know it's you don't like it.
No, that's not, actually I don't mind. I think if I had to pick one U2 song to listen to,
it would be that one.
If somebody held a gun to my head and said, "What's your favorite U2 song, you idiot?" I'd be like, "I still haven't found what I'm looking for." But those are the only words I know.
Yeah.
Do you know any other words to that?
To that song?
Yeah.
No, those aren't words. So no, the answer's no.
You okay? Everything all right with you? Is that a? Are you? Did you have an
I'm good.
Injury? Sunday, August 16th, 1987. Northwest Airlines Flight 255. Crashes on takeoff from Detroit Metropolitan Airport in Romulus, Michigan, just west of Detroit, killing all but one passenger.
Wow. I think we passed that sign on the way to the Detroit airport.
Oh, really? Four-year-old Cecilia Sichan. C-I-C-H-A-N. I don't know how you say that. Sichan? 156 people on board, one survivor.
Wow.
One of the people that died was Nick Vanos, a center for the Phoenix Suns. But can you imagine that little girl's life? Like to know?
Yeah, no kidding.
And there was an interview with her years later, like in, I don't know, 97 or 2007, or she's like 25. Yeah, I guess 2000. And
she's still haunted.
I don't know. I didn't read
it. It's like Final Destination or something where she's
it's crazy. Like,
avoiding death all the time.
Yeah, probably her whole life is just people trying to kill her and things trying to kill her. And then Friday, August 21st, 1987, "Nobody puts baby in a corner" was a famous quote from this movie. It was kind of like this: "Nobody puts baby in a corner."
I thought that was...
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
It was not like that.
I think that's what it sounded like. I never saw this movie, so that's how I'm assuming it sounded.
I don't know. What is it?
Yo, nobody put baby in a corner.
What is the movie?
Nobody put baby in a corner.
All right, stop.
I don't know. It's from Dirty Dancing?
That's right. That's right.
I think Baby is the name of Jennifer Grey, right?
You know, yes. You know, I don't know if I have ever sat through that entire movie.
I've never once seen it.
Yeah.
At all.
And that's one that everybody would be shocked to. You've never seen that?
Yeah.
But.
I mean, I don't. Well, if you, I can see why people would be shocked. But me, why would I see that?
It's just one that everybody's like, 16 Candles. You've never seen 16 Candles?
Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, it's like almost a Brat Pack type movie.
Well, did you know that a lot of the scenes from Dirty Dancing, all the dancing scenes were filmed in North Carolina, Lake Lure,
which
I don't think is far from here.
Okay.
And a lot of the dancing was improvised, like all the big mm-hmm. moves that you see when they're crawling to each other. And they all just were messing around. Made that up, and all the ones they were just messing around with made it. Swayze did his own stunts, and he hurt his knee.
Okay.
Like a dumbass. And She's Like the Wind.
And he has frostbite. Remember. Oh, yeah. No, that's later. That's in the 90s.
It was the 90s, but they did say that it was super freezing up there. Mm-hmm. Like, it was supposed to be summer, mm-hmm. but it was, like, real cold as in the fall or something. So they were, like, all freezing while they filmed it, but they had to pretend it was summer. And She's Like the Wind. Remember that song?
Oh, that song.
Patrick Swayze song. She Broke the Wind.
She Broke Her Wind.
She Broke the Wind is the name of it.
No, She's Like the Wind.
She's Like the Wind. But we would always change the word and say, She Broke the Wind because farting.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah, I get it now.
Anything else about Dirty Dancing you want to share?
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
I've had the time of my life.
It's a Walter song.
Okay. I remember my mom loving that song when it came out. And would sing it and dance, do it and stuff. Mm. Saturday, August 22nd, 1987, Madonna takes over the top spot on the Billboard charts with a song from a movie she was in.
Gosh. Who's That Girl?
Yes.
Okay.
Who's That Girl?
Did not do well at the box office.
No, I don't think so. Say. Wasn't that one with her and Paula Poundstone?
No.
I mean, Paula...
Rosanna Arquette.
Rosanna Arquette.
That was Desperately Seeking Susan. That was before this.
Oh.
That already came out.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Who's That Girl? Did you ever see that?
No. But I think it's really bad.
I think it was originally... The movie was originally called something else, and they wrote the song, and then they changed the title of the movie to Who's That Girl or something like that.
Could be. She looks beautiful, but yeah.
You never saw it? Mm-mm. I thought you were a big Madonna fan. Wow.
I do. I like Madonna, but I don't like her movies.
Oh, well. It must be nice to just be able
music.
To pick what you like about somebody. Just one thing or the other. Like, that'd be like saying, oh, I like Mr. T, but I don't like his movies. I just like his...
Well, she's not a very good actress.
Oh, boom.
But she's amazing.
Tearing up on Madonna.
She's like...
This is dishing on Madonna.
Amazingly as a performer. Like, when you watch... I've seen her live... And
oh, look at you.
I know.
Did you tell her she's a terrible actress?
You can't keep your eyes off her when she's performing. She's like a...
Kind of like Beyonce?
Yeah, she is. It's amazing.
Yeah.
She does a spectacle, too, so that adds to it. But
testicle.
Spectacle.
Oh.
Like, you know, it's all different sets.
Like
and
MC
different,
Hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah, she changes her clothes every... Thing.
Yeah, she
MC
does.
MC Hammer was a big old good show, too. Big show.
Each song has like a whole choreograph.
And he also can't
thing.
Act, so they're similar.
Yeah.
Madonna, MC Hammer, same ballpark.
Okay.
And then on August 29th, 1987, Los Lobos knocked Madonna off the top spot.
Los Lobos.
Remember Los Lobos?
Sing La Bamba.
La 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 Bamba.
Para Baila La Bamba.
La 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 La
no.
Bamba. It's not La 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 Bamba.
Para Baila La Bamba.
Para La 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 Por Bi Se Se Por Fi Se De. La
No,
that's
not
La Bamba.
Para Baila La
Feliz
Bamba.
Feliz Navidad. Prospero.
Para Baila La
you
Bamba.
Know that
se
in, necesito oh, is that what
una
they
mota de gracia. Something like that.
Do you know that in... And Feliz Navidad, they say Ross Perot.
No, they don't.
Feliz Navidad, Ross Perot. Yeah, they do.
No,
listen to
don't.
It. Listen to it next time and listen for Ross Perot.
Okay.
You won't be able to hear anything else.
All right. What's
it's
next?
Weird that they talk about Ross Perot in that. But anyway, this song came out when Richie Valens.
Yeah, that's right. Richie. What was that movie called? Richie Valens?
La Bamba.
Oh, that's right. It was called La Bamba.
It was a Richie Valens story starring... Lou Dobbs. No.
Lou Dobbs.
Lou
Diamond Phillips.
Lou Dobbs Phillips.
Was it Lou Diamond Phillips?
Lou Diamond Phillips, yeah.
Is that his name?
Lou Diamond Phillips. But everyone knows that he and Lou Dobbs are actually
I don't think he did related. Much after the 80s.
Lou Dobbs?
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Lou Diamond, well, he died, didn't he, in a plane crash?
No, that was Ricky Valens.
Well, he died in a horse accident, right?
What?
Or that was Young Guns.
I don't think. No, I think he's alive still.
No.
Yeah.
Lou Dobbs? I mean, Lou Diamond, Lou Dobb Phillips.
Stop.
Lou Dobbs Phillips.
Is Lou Dobbs alive?
Oh, that piece of crap. He's like a frog.
Yeah, I know.
He's like a big, giant, gross, sweaty frog. It's anyway, true. So Lou Dobbs and Lou Diamond Phillips are two different people. Yeah. And we don't know if Lou Diamond Phillips is alive. And like we said in our previous episode, there's no way of finding out.
Yeah, there's nothing that will tell you in an instant whether you're right. So let's just assume. Let's see. We assumed the last one was dead, so let's just assume this one's alive until
And I'll ask Siri. Is Lou Diamond Phillips alive?
Here is information from Wikipedia.
Oh, he was born in 1962.
Boom. He's still alive.
Oh, it says years active, 1984 to the present. He's not dead. Who was the other one that we weren't sure? Gregory Hines?
Yeah, I think he's dead.
Is Gregory Hines dead?
Gregory Hines died on August 9, 2003.
Boom.
Gregory Hines died in Los Angeles, California. The cause of death of Gregory Hines was hepatocellular carcinoma.
Oh, poor Gregory Hines.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. He's been dead for a long time.
Yeah. Like boom. I was good. Years. I was right about both of those.
You said Richie Valens was alive?
No,
I mean, Lou Dobbs.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Gosh, we're idiots. I mean, you are. I'm just married to you. Just kidding. Lou Dobbs Phillips is alive. And he's now Lou Dobbs Phillips.
All right.
Maybe those two should start a show together. Lou Dobbs and Lou Dobbs and Phillips together. The Lou Dobbs Phillips show.
I don't think either of them are doing much these days.
Yeah, they might as well combine their talent. That's what everybody who's just like struggling and not making money anymore, former celebrity, they should combine forces and have some kind of kitsch show.
Yeah.
What would they do on that show?
I don't know.
Lou Dobbs Phillips show. They would.
He's like a poster child for that. You can be a superstar and then probably be working at Burger King.
So maybe what? There you go. They'll open their own fast food place.
Like that. Like.
And they'll see how many burgers Lou Dobbs can.
He was a superstar back then when he started that.
We'll see how many burgers Lou Diamond Phillips can stuff in Lou Dobbs' gullet.
All right.
And then on September 11th, 1987, Dan Rather got very upset. Do you know who Dan Rather is?
Yes.
Remember him from the CBS Evening News? He was very upset at the evening news being delayed by a U.S. Open tennis match.
Yes.
Do you know what he did?
Mm-mm.
He just walked off the set, and when the match was over, CBS was left with nothing but dead air for 6 minutes.
Oh, boom.
Because Dan Rather was like, F this noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6 minutes he was gone because he didn't give a shit.
So did he get fired?
Sick of it. No, he's Dan Rather, man.
He retired. Wow. But he...
I don't know. Yeah, Dan Rather does whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
In fact, he was just at our...
Was he the one that had theater? What's the frequency, Kenneth guy?
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
Is it Dan Rather that got the?
I think so.
We'll probably cover that, but
yeah, I think so. We'll find out whenever that happened.
Yeah,
that was in the '70s, right?
Yes, I think it was Dan Rather. So he's had quite a life. This might be the Dan Rather podcast.
Tom Brokaw.
Should we make this?
Was it Tom Brokaw? Maybe.
No.
It wasn't Peter Jennings because his whole thing, he was just obsessed
Let's
with
just
New
make
Coke.
This the...
Peter Jennings was just pissed off New Coke the whole time. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm almost positive it was Dan Rather.
I think so too. But it's just a small sliver of my brain thinks it might be Tom Brokaw. So I don't.
It's not him.
Again, no way to find out.
Nope. We'll just wonder.
Brian Williams. Okay. And then on, do you know what you have your dates in front of you? Okay.
Yeah. Until November.
Okay. Wednesday, September 16th, 1987. Alfonso Hayden Jr. Do you know who this is?
No.
It is a little bit longer thing, so listen carefully.
Okay.
Alfonso Hayden Jr. was a robbery suspect in Sacramento. He fled into a darkened movie theater to escape police.
Mm-hmm.
He became so engrossed in the movie that, however, it was RoboCop.
No.
It was RoboCop,
God.
Of course, that he failed to notice that police had evacuated all other patrons from the theater.
What? Was he on drugs?
No, RoboCop is... Was
that
the only, that's the only drug he was on is RoboCop.
Yeah.
When the lights flipped on, the stunned man was taken into custody. Sacramento police said the motion picture RoboCop so fascinated a robbery suspect that he continued watching in the front row while they evacuated 14 other patrons.
No.
Officers finally got his attention when they turned on the lights. Alfonso Hayden Jr., 25, was arrested on suspicion of robbing a Sacramento Savings and Loan Association in the shopping mall where the theater is located. Police said Hayden was a few yards outside the savings and loan office when an explosive charge released a cloud of red dye that coated the cash and him. Then he ducked into the theater where he tried to flush the stained money down a toilet, tore off his red shirt, and sat down to watch the movie.
Oh.
And then he was like, holy shit, RoboCop is awesome.
I don't know about that.
Have you ever seen RoboCop?
Yeah, I mean,
Clarence Boddicker?
I just
the
don't
dad
know
from if, 70s show.
I just don't know if it would be that engrossing that you've just robbed a bank, and your adrenaline's going like nuts, and it's
oh
that
my god,
good.
I just robbed a bank. Holy shit, RoboCop! Right, fucking great movie.
Yes.
Have you ever seen the scene where they shoot him and he turned him into RoboCop? They shoot Peter Sellers. All these. That's a messed up movie.
I don't know if I have.
Oh, it's very violent. Friday, September 18th, 1987.
Yeah.
Glenn Close was born.
Nope.
She got married. Divorced. She was in a movie.
Yes.
No, a movie came out that she was in. Mm-hmm. 1987, what movie starring Glenn Close?
Fatal Attraction?
Yeah, Fatal Attraction.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was the top movie, if it wasn't one of the top movies that year. And a little tidbit, she still has the knife that she used in that movie hanging in her kitchen.
Oh, my gosh. You've seen that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think it's a pretty good movie.
Well, and that movie actually prepared me for life. And it was like,
women are
okay,
crazy.
Every woman you date will be insane.
Now, wait a minute.
No. Wait. Just let me finish. Hear me out. Every woman you date will be insane to some degree. Find out the degree
his
first.
His wife wasn't like.
Some will be crazy, and some will just be crazy weird. And
his
silly.
Wife wasn't crazy.
Well, we don't know. She died in the first scene.
Did she?
I don't know. No. Maybe. Didn't she? I don't know.
She dies at the end.
She dies.
No,
at
she
some
doesn't
point.
Die. She the doesn't wife doesn't die.
Who plays the wife?
Annie Potts or somebody?
You don't even know.
It might be Annie Potts.
Probably Ally Sheedy.
I'm going to say it was like Annie Potts or somebody. That's probably when Ryan will be screaming.
No, it was Tabitha Soren. No, it wasn't her, but I don't even know that movie. I don't even remember that. I just remember the crazy one. Yeah. No, but it just prepared me for there is insane women. Some women are insane.
Yeah.
Plenty of dudes are insane, too.
Yeah.
But I think women are more justified to be insane because all the things they have to do and put up with and deal with.
You do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, just menstrual shit alone.
Yeah, I still.
Would make me insane. The first time I have a menstrual thing, I am not an insane person.
You have no choice.
Oh, I know. But how can you face the world the very next day? I'm bleeding out of an orifice in my body, and this is going to happen to me throughout the rest of my life. That's insane that happens. September 19th, 1987.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson has a number one song as a duet. Do you want to guess the person who was in the duet with him or the name of the song?
Because
I don't think you'll get either.
I'll guess the person.
Okay. So the song is, I Just Can't Stop Loving You.
Oh, God. I have no idea.
And if I stop, just tell me just what will I do. I never knew it was a duet. I thought it was just him singing.
Yeah, who is it?
Because it's a lady who sounds just like him.
Is it LaToya?
Nope.
Who is it?
Mrs. Garrett from Facts of Life.
No.
No.
You're ridiculous.
It's Syda Garrett. Syda, S-I-E-D-A.
Mrs. Garrett.
It might be. Maybe that show was based on her. What if it was not Cloris Leachman, but remember
you don't
who played
remember,
her?
No.
The red hair. God, I love her.
I don't think I know her real name.
Oh, I do. Cloris Leachman played her replacement, right? So it was...
I have no
Mrs.
idea.
Mrs. Garrett was played by chubby red-haired lady.
Yeah, I can picture her.
You can?
Oh, yeah. Clear as a bell. Like she's my relative.
She is?
No,
but
like...
You didn't know her name ever?
Like she's my relative. Nope.
When I was a kid, I had a book about different strokes and facts of life, and it had a page or two on each actor
mm-hmm.
and their real name and
you had a book
their
like
hobbies.
That?
Yeah, it was like their hobbies and what they liked, so that's why I knew Conrad Bain,
that's
Tom
why
Bridges.
You already knew all those.
You know, that's why I knew Nancy McKeon.
Yep.
Like we knew all of them. And she was played by... Oh, it's
killing
me.
Yeah, we can't look it up anywhere.
No, I'm not going to look it up because I will remember this. It's like...
You'll remember it when I...
It's like Don Rickles. Like, why didn't I... I love Don Rickles.
When I remembered the song Magic.
Yeah, it'll be in the middle of this episode. But September 26th, 1987,
mm-hmm.
Whitney Houston has another number one hit. You'll never guess this one.
I already guessed I Want to Dance with Somebody, right?
Yeah,
I think
it did happen. You got that in the same year, I think, earlier.
That's when I always guess.
Yep.
Is it How Will I Know If He Really
Loves
Nope,
I think
me?
We did that one already, too.
Oh, I don't know. What is it?
Didn't we almost
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Love's a library, life worth living. It is widely speculated that the song is about Houston's relationship with then-NFL star Randall Cunningham.
Oh, the guy from the Vikings?
Well, he was the Eagles then. He was the Eagles star quarterback. But everyone said they knew that relationship wouldn't last because Randall Cunningham was a super religious, nice guy.
Oh.
And she was looking for a bad boy.
Oh, she was.
She liked people that broke laws and was.
Oh, that's why she was like Bobby B.
Yeah, she liked a bad boy like Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
Charlotte Ray.
There you go.
Charlotte Ray plays Mrs. Garrett.
Yes, there you go, babe.
Oh, man. And that's actually our good friend from the 90s episodes that we talked about. Our friend Brian McCartney, who I can't remember why we brought Brian McCartney up. He did something. Oh, he, Minnie Minoso in the bar was like, yes. Hey, you idiot. He and Jessica, they named their child after Charlotte Ray.
That is a lie.
No. They're huge Mrs. Garrett heads. They're huge Garrett heads. That's a definite truth, and no one can ever deny it. And then on Tuesday, September 29th, 1987, a young man by the name of Don Mattingly, you know who that is?
No.
He hit 6 grand slams in 1987 to set the Major League Baseball single season record. So he hit his 6th one on September 29th. Those 6 were also the only grand slams he would ever hit in his entire 14-year career.
And he did them all in 1 year?
Yeah. He got 6 grand slams in his career.
He was on steroids or something
for a minute.
It
was 1 year, 1987.
He was on steroids for a minute.
14 years, though, he played. And 1 year out of 14?
Don't you think?
And
so what's
he was a white guy with a mustache.
What's the only denominator that changes is that...
Probably his mustache.
Steroids.
His mustache probably... He probably shaved it, and the mustache was keeping him down. Or...
Or he grew it.
He grew it longer.
Yeah. He had mustache powers.
Yeah, mustache powers. I don't think he did, because he wasn't a big dude, I don't think. But maybe he was. I don't remember. I was a kid.
You don't just all of a sudden have a year where you're awesome, and the rest, yeah, and then you go back to sucking again.
Baseball is really streaky. It's like golf.
Really?
People get real, like... They get in slumps just for no reason.
But to that degree?
I guess. He's Don Madden. I mean, he was still a good player. He just didn't hit grand slam home runs. Do you know what a grand slam home run is?
Yes, I know.
What?
When the bases are loaded and then somebody hits a home run and everybody goes
So he's hit plenty of home runs probably in the other seasons. They just weren't grand slams. So you'd have to have a really good team to be able to have the bases loaded
that
many times.
That makes me hungry. Isn't it? I'm so conditioned.
A grand slam home run makes you hungry?
The term grand slam makes me hungry for breakfast.
For
food.
Breakfast at Denny's?
Yes. I'm so conditioned.
Oh my God. I don't even know who I'm married to. You're a monster.
It just does.
Does this make you hungry? Moons over Miami.
No, not like grand slam. Grand slam has the pancakes.
Have you ever had moons over Miami at Denny's?
No. I don't like ham.
Oh. You need to stop everything and have. If you're listening right now,
they don't have it there anymore.
Drive to the nearest Denny's. Yeah, they do. They don't? They better drive to the nearest Denny's. Whatever you're doing, if you're in your car,
I don't think they.
And
have
you're on your way to work
anymore.
Skip work today. Go to Denny's. Have Moons Over Miami.
That was
if you're on your way home. Don't go home to see your loved ones. Go to Denny's and eat Moons Over Miami. And as you order it, when they ask you what you like, say to the waiter or waitress, "Say, I would like Moons Over Miami."
Are you done?
And if they look at you weird, punch them in the face and walk out.
Okay.
But if they don't look at you weird, then enjoy your Moons Over Miami. Okay, that was Don Mattingly.
You never know where it's going to end up.
And then Thursday, naturally, Don Mattingly ends in punching a Denny's waitress for looking at you funny for singing Moons Over Miami. And then Thursday, October 1st, 1987, are you aware of a young gentleman by the name of Steve Rothstein?
No.
Oh, you don't know this story then?
No.
Steve Rothstein bought a lifetime unlimited first class American Airlines ticket.
Okay.
Lifetime unlimited. So they came out with this thing that was like, you buy this ticket for your lifetime. You can take as many trips as you want. Lifetime
they
unlimited.
They just did that for him? Or
no, they did. This was a thing they were doing. They were like, oh, for $250,000,
wow,
buy a lifetime airline ticket. They thought it was a new promotion they needed to do to kind of promote business.
Okay.
So... He bought it. I don't think many other people bought it.
Because it was like $250,000.
There were old people that, it was a lot of money back then in 87. And then I think some people thought, oh, they won't get their money's worth. Or maybe people bought it and didn't get their money's worth. But he flew over 10,000 flights, costing the company $21 million.
Oh, my God.
They terminated his ticket in 2008. Here are some numbers for you. 10,000 flights, 10 million miles traveled.
10,000 flights in how long?
From 87 to 2008, he traveled 10 million miles.
Yeah.
40 million frequent flyer miles earned. 500 trips to England, 120 trips to Tokyo,
God, he was,
70 trips to Australia.
He was going every day.
Yeah, and he bought two tickets. Two, Him and a friend. Yeah.
Oh.
So, but he didn't have, he wasn't married or anything, so he would just take people.
Wow.
Like, he'd find random people and be like, hey, you want to go to Tokyo? Or do you want to go to, where do you want to go?
Really?
And we'll go there. And he would fly people everywhere.
Really?
And so they felt like he was, like, taking advantage of the deal.
You think?
Yeah. So, because he was like, fuck it, I bought these.
I know,
so
that's right.
It's your fault. You put this out.
I didn't tell you to do it.
Yeah, so he's right to do it. But they caught him on some stipulation where he, there was something in the fine print where he was supposed to give a certain amount of notice
mm-hmm.
with a guest or something, and he was, like, just grabbing people off the street and flying them where they wanted to go.
Jeez.
And they were like, okay, you violated it in 2008. We're cutting it off. And so he...
I'm surprised they didn't try to sue him and so that he owed them.
Oh, I'm sure they probably did. Yeah, there was a lot of articles about that you could read that really get into something.
What's the guy's name?
Steve Rothstein.
Okay. Huh. That's an interesting one.
Hey, look up Steve Rothstein, American Airlines, and you'll get all the info. It's kind of interesting. And then Saturday, October 10th, 1987,
mm-hmm.
Whitesnake takes over the Billboard charts with Here I Go Again on my own. Going down the only road I've ever known. This is with Tawny Katane in the video, dancing all sexily, if that's a word, on top of the
car. That's one. Whitesnake, I get their songs mixed up with so many of those hair bands.
Well,
like, I sometimes don't.
They didn't have that many. This was their big one. They had another one, too, I think.
Because I'll get those mixed up with
Whitesnake and Cinderella,
Def Leppard, and
oh, not Def Leppard! Come on,
I might get them confused. Drummer. I don't know. I might get them confused, like those kind of songs.
Well, there was like the top ones, and then there were the secondary ones. Whitesnake, I think, is
that's
one of
true.
The secondary
yeah,
ones.
like
you I mean, said, this one was huge, but this was the number one song on my school bus in middle school. When that came on, we all sang every word at the top of our lungs. Just like, I mean. We were like standing all up right, on the bus,
I get
just
the
hanging
point.
Out the windows, and just "Hey, Rocco, I can't go down the only road off of me."
All right,
like a drifter, I was born to walk alone. See, I notice if I act like I'm reading the next line, I can keep singing the song.
I noticed that
you won't yell. You won't yell at me.
I noticed that.
Wednesday, October 14th, 1987, Jessica McClure Morales.
Baby Jessica.
Yes.
That's right.
She was born March 26th of 86. She became famous on October 14th, 1987, at the age of 18 months after she fell into a well in her aunt's backyard in Midland, Texas.
Oh, my God. What a nightmare.
Yeah, between that day and October 16th, rescuers, 2 days. Can you imagine
two days
your baby stuck in
days.
There? Rescuers worked for 58 consecutive hours to free her from the 1/8-inch well casing, 22 feet below the ground. The story gained worldwide attention, leading to some criticism as a media circus, and later became the subject of a 1989 ABC television movie, Everybody's Baby, The Rescue of Jessica McClure.
Yes. God, that poor baby.
As presented in the film, the relatively new technology of water jet cutting was a vital part of the rescue.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, some kind of water jet. They were able to cut stuff so it wouldn't hurt her, I guess.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
I don't remember that. I remember being kind of young and being surprised at what happened, but...
Yeah, that's bizarre. That poor baby.
That poor little baby, but she survived.
Yeah, she
imagine
did.
Imagine if she didn't.
I know.
But don't you think sometimes the conspiracy theorist in me thinks if she died, they would all be like, okay, the whole world's been watching this and covering it. This can't be the way this ends.
Oh,
so
right. They pretend like she lived.
It's like replace it with a
happy
replacement
ending.
Baby.
Yeah.
And then say she lived.
Yeah, it could
think
be.
That's the way it is?
No, I don't know. It could be.
Nah, maybe not. I don't know.
Who knows? The Challenger exploded into the air.
That's true. There was no change in that.
Nope.
That's true.
So,
touche.
There you go.
Sunday, October 17th, 1987, Lisa, Lisa, and Cult Jam take over the charts with the number one song. We've already done a couple Lisa Lisas this
year. Yeah,
I
don't know what it is. I'm not going
to
be able to.
You won't be able to.
No.
Do you remember what she looked like, though?
No.
You have a picture of Lisa Lisa?
No.
You don't at all?
Mm-mm.
When you have time, if you're listening to this in your car, pull over, look it up on your phone. She's totally 80s, like I said. Lost in Emotion.
Oh, yes.
I don't even know any other words.
Yeah,
but,
that's the only one that I know, too.
But Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam, I've figured out of watching all these videos that I've watched, she... Mm-hmm. She represents the 80s the most in my... What I think of the 80s is a Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam video. If you watch
even
her videos...
more than Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, I think so.
Really? Okay.
Cyndi Lauper's more... Because Cyndi Lauper is actually talented. Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam is just garbage 80s stuff.
Yeah,
like, it's just
that's true.
Crappy 80s songs. No offense to all you Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam fans.
Yeah, you pissed some people off just now.
Especially because Cyndi Lauper spanned a few... decades,
right,
but
right.
Cyndi Lauper was totally 80s. Yeah,
yeah. Her,
she made 80s what they are, but
Cyndi Lauper in the 80s.
Yeah, she made the 80s. Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam, marinated in the 80s.
Yeah, and, they kind of...
Yeah, like Cyndi Lauper made the stew, and then when you... The stew is done. You pull out Lisa Leeson Culkin.
Yeah, I got it. She's the 80s stew. Yeah,
you get that? Does that make sense?
I dig it.
I can't believe you went there with me.
I did.
You're there, but
I totally did.
Nobody else is. Lost in emotions. Yeah. The part where they say, "Casera, Casera."
Yeah. What about it? They sing "Casera, Casera" wrong.
Yeah, "Casera, Casera."
Yeah. And they're mispronouncing it.
Yeah, that's funny. Saturday, October 24th, 1987, Michael Jackson knocks Lisa Leeson Cult Jam off the Billboard.
Again, Michael Jackson's coming in.
Yes, and this is...
A biggie?
This is a biggie.
Thriller?
Because this is from October 24th till November 6th.
Thriller?
Thriller was 1983. We talked about this several episodes ago.
All right, don't be...
Remember with Thriller
quit
and
screaming
Bad,
at me.
Thriller and Billie Jean and...
Bad.
Yeah, I give it away.
Bad. Well, why are you screaming at me? Why
you
are you
remember,
mad?
You remember the video for Bad?
Yeah.
The epic video?
Yeah.
Do you know who directed it?
Steven Spielberg.
Martin Scorsese.
Really?
He really did, yeah.
Wow.
Did you really think Spielberg did?
No.
You're just kidding.
I was kidding.
Yeah, Martin Scorsese actually directed the video, which I don't remember that being the case. I remember being a long, epic thing. Like,
you know it.
Like Thriller.
You know. And the whole world right now because I tell you once again.
Who's bad?
That's a good
you
song.
Ain't bad. You ain't nothing.
Yeah.
Remember though at the beginning?
Yeah.
So at the beginning, I mean, it's this big, long thing. Like, it starts out with him leaving college or high school.
Uh-huh.
It says, like... He's at a boarding school or something. It's fancy white school.
Yeah.
And it's all these.
I don't remember the beginning. I remember him talking at the beginning, but I don't remember all this part about
it. Well, then they shortened it and had a shorter, long version where he just, like, Wesley Snipes says, come on, man. You got to, why don't you rob this guy? They're going to rob a guy, and he lets the guy go, and then Wesley Snipes gets in his face. Wesley Snipes is in it.
Yeah.
He's one of his old gang members or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch the thing from the beginnings, which I watched the whole thing, I went back and I had to watch, and it's a real long movie that's not very good, but he's on a train, and he's on the train with all these rich kids, and then little by little, the rich kids go away, and they get to the poor neighborhood. It's just him and one other guy, and they're both like, we got to stick together. It's like a Latino guy. And then he goes to his neighborhood, and it's all beaten down, broken down. But at the beginning, very beginning, when he's leaving the boarding school, like some white guy, some white guy peer of him, some other student says, you did really good this year. You keep up the good work, buddy. I'm real proud of you. You did great.
What?
Yeah, like no high school peers would say that to each other. Like, at all, but he was like, "You're really doing a great job," and it's kind of like, what?
Yeah.
And then when he gets there, like he's such. I mean, you know, gamers like, "How come you ain't down anymore? You ain't down with us no more. You've changed." He's like, "He was never down."
No, come I know. On. Yeah,
was he ever down?
Michael Jackson.
Look at him.
Right. And hey, listen to him talk.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you ain't nothing. And then when he's like, "I'll show you who's bad. Come on, let's go to the train station. I'll show you who's bad." Like you're gonna rob somebody.
Yeah.
And he's just this tiny little baby lady. Like,
yeah, he is. Like, baby lady.
Baby lady kid.
He's a baby lady.
Just a little guy.
Yep.
And then he, when he, like, gets in their face, like, get off me. You ain't, leave me alone. Get off me. You ain't bad. You ain't nothing. Like, it's real not tough at all.
Yeah.
And then it becomes in color.
Then it's
and then
the
all,
song
then
starts.
He's got a gang with him, a gang of brightly dressed.
Yes,
hooligans.
I remember them.
Everybody's wearing like bright clothes.
And the knife, the mock knife fight. Yeah.
That's from Beat It.
Oh,
mock knife fight. But this one's where he's got all the crazy leather.
Yeah, I remember
belts.
The dress.
Like he's got like
that's right
belts and loops and all this stuff. And so Weird Al's famous ones, like he gets real fat.
Yeah.
But you just hear all these chains and leather, and it's like. He doesn't look cool at all.
He doesn't know what's bad.
Yeah, he has no idea what's bad, but we all just took this in and accepted this as something. Like, we all just like, yep, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was watching it, I remember being a kid, we thought this too when we were kids. Like, that. He's not bad at all.
Right,
like,
yeah.
But we all liked the song and didn't care. Like, it was like a movie, I guess.
Yeah.
You didn't care. But it wasn't like a real movie. It was like a Pee Wee Herman movie or something.
Yeah,
like,
something
it was
that.
Like something silly that...
So it's surprising Scorsese.
So when they really show him, it's like they have the long cut where they... kind of pull away from him, like, oh, look how badass he is, and they're like in awe, and oh my god, look how bad he is, look at all those belts he's wearing. He doesn't look bad at all. He looks like Diana Ross or something,
right?
Like, and I don't, it's just crazy that we all accepted this as being bad, but it's a great song.
It is a good song.
It still is a good song.
Yeah,
it still holds up.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I get out of my car and sing it at stoplights really loud to people.
I'm glad.
Yeah. And that whole, again, this whole album was great, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, none of it's believable that he's into these ladies or anything.
Right. But
they're good songs.
Yeah, they are.
I still sing, like, Man in the Mirror. Like, that's the best song ever.
All right.
Sunday, October 25th, 1987, the Twins defeated the Cardinals 4-3 to win the World Series.
I remember that.
You do?
I remember that series.
Oh, because you're Cardinals. Yeah, you're living in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Twins pitcher Frank Viola was named the MVP. It was the first World Series that was to feature games played indoors in Minnesota.
You know, it's funny. I have a memory of being sick.
Really?
Laying in bed and having this. We had this little black and white TV.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it on this, the little black and white TV. I was sick in bed.
You were watching it by yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it was this little TV in my room.
It was like the only thing that could come on.
Probably. Yeah, it was probably five channels that we had.
I was like, well, I would, we didn't surprised have cable. You would watch the World Series.
Yeah, and we didn't have cable, so it was one of the only things on.
And you would watch it?
Well, I was sick, so they just had something on. Yeah, you know how you did. You watched Tarzan, and you watched all these weird shows just because they were on.
I just wouldn't picture you watching baseball because you don't seem to understand how it works.
Either. I know how baseball works.
You do?
Yes.
All right, explain.
I'm not an idiot.
Explain a sacrifice fly.
Well, I don't know what that means, but I know how the basic game goes.
What's a balk?
That's not a thing.
A balk is a thing. Well, you know what a balk
is? You're not telling about the basics of the game. How the game is played. You're giving all these like far out things.
You're saying, you just said, I'm an expert at baseball. I know.
No, I did not say I was an expert.
You said you could coach a major league
baseball
team.
Is played very similar to kickball. As far as rules go.
Yeah.
So that's why it's okay. Familiar.
Once you hit the ball, which base do you run to first?
Will you stop?
Boom. All right. How many players are in the outfield?
I don't know.
I mean, how many players are on the field?
I don't know.
You don't know how many players?
No. Who cares?
Why don't you tell me something you know how baseball works?
We're moving
on.
How
many innings?
There's 10.
Oh, gosh, there's 9. You really don't know anything about baseball.
Well, sometimes there's a 10th one.
Okay, true or false, Mike Schmidt had a mustache.
True.
Yes. Well, good. You do know everything about baseball.
Yep, you're right.
Okay. That was the World Series. Sunday, November 1st, 1987, U2, listen to this, mm-hmm. U2 opened for themselves at a few shows in 1987. Did you know this?
No.
They opened for themselves.
Why would they do that?
They were introduced as the Dalton Brothers from Galveston, Texas, and they played country music while disguised in wigs and costumes.
Really?
And opened for themselves. Yeah. No idea that ever happened.
No, that's bizarre.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's really weird.
I bet they were terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then on November 7th, 1987, this was a Saturday, Tiffany's got the new number one song. Remember Tiffany?
Oh, yes.
You know what song?
Yes.
Weird Al covered this, too.
I know, and I can't remember what it's called.
It's a remake of a...
Yep.
Old song.
Oh, I think we're alone now. Sean Dell.
Yep, yep.
Doesn't seem to be anyone around.
I think I'm a clone now.
Okay, I don't remember. We're all doing it.
I think we're alone now. And Tiffany was naked in Playboy later on.
Yeah, I remember that too.
There was a whole rivalry between Tiffany and Debbie Gibson. Mm-hmm.
This is called the Gulf Breeze UFO incident.
The Gulf Breeze.
Gulf Breeze, Florida.
UFO incident. I've never heard of this.
And the story centers around Ed Walters.
Oh.
He's a 40-year-old family man.
That's a lot like me.
Lives in Gulf Breeze, Florida.
His name's Ed, and he lives in Florida. Florida's a terrible place.
So it started on November 11th.
Oh, the day that Head of the Class was on?
Yes.
You mean the day that on Head of the class puts on Grease, but Alan is reluctant to participate?
Yes.
Yeah, that day. Okay.
Yeah, so.
Now I understand.
Ed was relaxing after work as a contractor.
I was relaxing in Florida, in dirty, gross Florida, watching Head of the Class.
As he was sitting there with his family in the house.
They were all watching Head of the Class.
He notices outside the pine trees are moving in a weird way.
That's weird. Hey, turn Head of the Class down for a second.
And they're in the middle of his yard.
Stop listening to Arvid. Look at these pine trees.
So he goes out and he sees this glowing bluish gray object going over his house. So he had his Polaroid camera with him, and he took a picture. And
a bluish gray?
Bluish gray object, yeah. Yes. It was a saucer-type craft. It was big as a house, but completely silent.
Wow.
And
his whole family saw it or just him?
Just him this first time.
Oh, while Arvid's on the background?
Yeah, and it didn't spin, but it looked like it was dangling or bobbing in the sky, which to me is creepy. That's creepy to me.
As big as a house.
Yes, and just kind of like hovering there.
Yeah.
Like how creepy and scary would that be? It had portholes.
And what would you do? What would you do if you saw that? Like, what do you do?
Shit your pants?
Yeah.
So it had, it was dotted with portholes and had four sections. There was a small dome on top of a larger saucer. So as he puts his camera up to take the second picture and the
second picture
a second picture of it
so he got one picture
and he's getting ready to take a second one, and the craft starts moving towards him.
Oh, no.
From the sky.
Now he's out. Did he go outside or is he still inside?
Yeah, he's outside in his yard. So it's
coming at him.
So he said he was struck with this blue beam of light that froze him where he was to the spot.
Oh, snap.
And he tried to scream, but his whole, everything was numb.
Oh, no.
And so...
A freezer beam.
He felt like there was a pressure on his brain that felt like it was being his brain was being squeezed.
My brain is being squeezed.
So he felt that for about 20 seconds, and then...
20 seconds,
and
exactly.
Then the pain stopped, and then he was lifted off the ground.
Oh, no. With his camera?
And, yeah. And he hears voices in his head.
Telling him.
And the voice is like saying, "We will not harm you."
Yes, they can speak.
We will not harm you.
Telepathically.
And so he screams, and then the voice tells him to calm down, be calm.
So now he can scream? He does scream.
Yeah, he does scream.
He can scream now.
Yeah, he can scream now.
Okay. And he's not numb anymore?
Yes.
But he screams, he's in the beam still? Is he still being lifted?
I think he's still being lifted. So he's hit with this distinct smell like ammonia and cinnamon.
And the family's still not outside? They're still watching Arvid and Dennis Blunden?
They're not out there with him.
Watching so
he smells like ammonia and cinnamon, and it's stuck to the back of his throat.
He smells like it? His whole body does?
He smells it. And,
wow.
And so they... At this point, he was lifted 2 feet off the ground. And
only 2 feet?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's going real slow.
Yeah, it's going real slow.
And there's this unpleasant hum that starts in his head.
Is that unpleasant?
He said it was, yes. He said it was like a hand vibrator pressed inside his head.
Oh.
That's how he talked about it.
I wonder how does he know that? Who's putting vibrators up there?
I know, that's what I was wondering. And then he starts getting visions in his head.
Yeah.
And the first time these
visions of sugar plums.
No, it's visions of dogs.
Oh.
In his head.
Dogs, because dogs are calming.
I guess.
They say that dogs are really just put here to calm us human beings and distract us.
That could be why.
Like, so these dogs are sent by aliens.
The aliens finally drop him, the several feet down, back to the ground. And
he never goes into the ship.
No,
not so they're just examining his body or something.
They were trying to pull him up, and he's struggling and everything. And
hypnotize
then
him
they
dogs,
just dropped him and left.
And they just give up on him. Yeah. Now, we don't want that guy. He's a Floridian.
Yep. So he goes back.
Head of the class.
He goes back, runs back in to tell his wife, and she asks him what the unpleasant smell is.
Oh, you
so
smell like cinnamon.
So she
and ammonia,
did smell it.
BO and barf.
So he had these photos that he had taken. So he decides to take the photos to the newspaper.
They processed their Polaroids? Mm-hmm.
They're Polaroids.
Oh, Polaroids.
Polaroids.
Have you seen these?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
The photo, the camera for porn and aliens.
Yeah, naked pictures and penises.
Porn and aliens.
Porn and aliens, yeah.
Pretty much. So he decides to take the photos to the Sentinel, which is the newspaper in town.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want his name mentioned, his real name.
Yeah, I can
so he
can
does,
do with that.
He goes by Mr. X.
Mr. X.
And then about 9 days later, on November 20th, the aliens come again.
Oh, on November 20th? It's funny that they decide to come back when I Married Dora was on TV.
Never heard of that.
This was about a Los Angeles architect and a single father, Peter Farrell, played by Daniel Hugh Kelly, who was dependent upon his housekeeper, Dora Calderon, played by Elizabeth Pena. Yep, and Juliette Lewis played their daughter.
Okay. So at 4:30 p.m.
So that was on TV.
Yes.
The family was glued to that. So again, an alien comes and they're watching I Married Dora.
Well, no.
Oh.
It's 4:30 p.m. on that day.
Oh, so before I Married Dora came out.
Yes. Ed comes home and he notices this slight ringing in his ears that slowly gets louder in the right front, kind of in the right front
of
his brain.
So just tinnitus.
That's what he,
but a lot
at
of
first
times,
he thought.
Tinnitus is misdiagnosed as aliens.
That's true. So he hears this blast of air. And then in his head, he hears the voice again, and now it's got like this African dialect.
We will not harm you. Is that African?
No.
We will
you're
not,
the worst at those.
We will not harm you.
He picks up his camera, and he goes back into his front yard because he feels like they're here. They're back.
Wait, what's up? I'm trying to do Dikembe Mukembe. Dikembe.
All right.
We will not harm you.
So.
We will not harm you. That's German.
So he runs out and he starts yelling at the sky.
Because he knows they're talking to him.
And this beam of light comes forward at high speed towards him. And the voice says, "Be calm, step forward." And
that's not African. Do an African voice.
Oh, be calm, step forward. I know.
That sounds like Dracula.
I know, you're right.
Be calm. Let's do Bobby McFerrin. Be calm. Don't worry.
He was like be Jamaican, happy. I think.
Step forward. No. He was just American, I think.
Oh, he was.
I'm just saying Bobby McFerrin because they're saying don't worry, be happy, kind of.
You're being racist right now.
No.
You're being a racist right now.
The message is the same as don't worry, be happy.
But you're saying that all black people sound the same.
No, I didn't say that at all. I'm just saying it would be better if they had Bobby McFerrin's voice.
All right. All right.
Be happy.
So he raises the camera to take another picture, and the voice says, don't do that.
Oh, now it's turning who would say don't? What kind of song says don't do that?
I don't know.
Don't do that.
So they said they said to him that they weren't going to hurt him.
Don't do that.
And that he was just going to be examined.
We're just going to examine you rectally. We're just going to spend a lot of time in your anus.
That's right. So he gets another picture as the UFO flew over to his right.
Oh.
And then the voice told him to step forward again.
Step forward, you son of a bitch.
When he refused, the aliens tried to do the image thing again. In his head, like they did before.
Here's some dogs.
But it was naked ladies this time.
Oh, because that probably is the other thing that works. Like, we know they like boobs and vages.
Yep. Then the voice said, "We will come for you," and then it flew away. And Ed snapped another picture.
I love that it's dogs and naked ladies.
Yeah. Yep. So the news story starts to gain like steam and stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's on the front page.
This is really believable, honestly, to me. Like. These things make sense. Of course you're going to give pictures of dogs to calm us down. These dogs are only... We only adopt dogs because they're just here to make us calm.
Yeah,
look at that sleeping dog right there. All he does is sleep. He's an alien.
Yep,
you're a total alien, Floyd. And naked ladies, of course.
Right.
Dudes love naked ladies.
So the next date is December 2nd.
Ladies don't really love naked dudes, though.
No.
Okay, let's pause on that for a second. Because while all this... is going on in their lives in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
November 21st, Billy Idol takes over the top chart while all this alien shit's going on.
Yeah.
You know what song?
Is it White Wedding?
Moni Moni.
Oh, okay. Then not one of my favorite Billy Idols.
It's a cover of Tommy James and the Shondells song.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew it was a remake.
But it's funny because a cover of Tommy James and the Shondells mm-hmm. knocked off a previous cover of Tommy James and the Shondells. Which is, I think we're alone now.
Oh,
back-to-back covers of Tommy James and the Shondells.
Yeah, that is weird.
And then on, what's your next December? Sunday, November 22nd. We're going to have to take a longer pause because this is a crazy fucking thing that happened.
Okay.
The Max Headroom.
Yes.
Incident.
Yes.
Do you know about this?
Yes.
The Max Headroom broadcast signal intrusion.
Mm-hmm.
It was I didn't know about this, so I looked this up.
It's creepy as hell.
Yeah. Now, I remember Max Headroom. From the New Coke.
Yes.
He was the New Coke spokesman.
Is that what it was?
And
Coke?
It was New Coke. Catch the Wave was the New Coke.
Oh, okay.
And it's an actor who's been in other stuff. You recognize the actor if you watch the old Max Headroom videos, the real ones. And he actually had a TV show. They mm-hmm. made a show about him or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. That's a, like a totally 80s thing.
Yeah, Max Headroom's a totally
TV 80s. Show.
That basically isn't called Jam. But anyway, the Max Headroom broadcast signal intrusion was a television signal hijacking occurring in Chicago.
Yes.
On the evening of November 22nd, 1987, at least two unknown individuals, still unsolved to this day.
Yes, that's right.
This is.
Mm-hmm.
It's an example of what is known in the television business as broadcast signal intrusion. Two Chicago television stations had their signals hijacked by an unknown person wearing a Max Headroom mask and sunglasses. A homemade Max Headroom background rocked back and forth, and it was like a black and silver wire that they had like moving, so it looked like, and they did a great job of it.
Yeah.
But you can watch this on YouTube to this day, and I recommend everyone watch it.
Yes.
Stop this podcast, pull over, whatever it is. Stop immediately. Don't go to work today. Watch that instead.
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy.
It's really creepy.
I even made a guy at work who didn't know who Max Headroom even was.
Yeah.
He's a millennial, so he has no idea. And he said, that's freaking creepy as hell. And at the end of it, so he says all this random stuff.
It didn't happen more than once or just once?
Well, it happened during the WGN news for like 9 seconds.
Yeah.
And then, or WTTW news. And then on WGN later during Doctor Who was the longer one. Like the first one was just a couple seconds. It was 25 seconds, I guess. And the second one was after 11 o'clock during, it was 90 seconds.
And that one is when he's getting spanked and stuff.
That's the creepy one where they actually, on YouTube, all the videos of it pretty much have subtitles so you can tell what he's saying. Because it's real creepy. You wouldn't know what he's saying anyway. It's kind of like, it's clear they're high on something.
Yeah.
Like they're completely on something crazy.
Yeah.
Like LSD or something. Because they're saying, they mentioned a sportscaster on WGN, call him a freaking liberal or something like that.
Wouldn't you be terrified if you were that guy?
oh yeah, that they're going to do something to you or whatever. And they do all this crazy stuff. And then they, at the end of it, they get somebody's bare ass out and they're spanking. Some woman is spanking him with a fly swatter, spanking his ass. And then it's like, they're coming to get me. They're coming to get me. And he's humming something to Clutch Cargo, that cartoon.
So fucking it's all weird. So
weird. Chuck Swirsky is the one they
mentioned.
Yeah, they talked about him. And so they say all this, something about, this is, I've created a masterpiece for all the greatest world newspaper nerds. Ha 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 ha. So it's real crazy and weird. Made national headlines. Nobody ever found it. But I just listened to a podcast called How Stuff Is, or Stuff You Should Know. Have you heard of that podcast?
Yeah.
Stuff You Should Know.
I love Stuff You Should Know. That's a great podcast.
Just a recent podcast. Just happened to be talking about this incident while we were preparing for 1987. Yeah. I was like, oh, when did that happen? I looked up, 1987. Oh, I can use this perfectly. So they talked about it, and they also said, we're going to pause, go watch it, and then listen to us talk about it. And they said in that podcast that years later, 20 years later, some guy came forward and said he was talking to some dudes at a party around this time who were two brothers, and they were capable of doing this kind of thing.
Oh, really?
And they talked about doing something big, and everybody's going to hear about it. But they still, I don't know if they've investigated these people or not, but he said a lot of people still kind of question them, because why would you be saying this 20 years later? Why wouldn't you talk about this then?
Right, exactly. So
who knows why, but I could see it being these two weird, these two nerdy guys that had all kinds of equipment and stuff. And you can see two guys in Chicago, nerdy guys, just having stuff, two brothers or whatever. Because he even says something about, my brother's holding the mask or something while he's getting his ass spanked. But yeah, it's crazy. But
well, and it is, and it, part of it is just the creepiness of,
it's so creepy.
You're in the middle of a newscast. It's not what you're expecting. And
or Doctor Who, too, and it just takes over. And
all of a sudden, like, you're like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, and you expect something else to happen. Are they taking over everything?
Right,
are they
exactly.
Taking over the country or whatever, and then it's just gone. But it's just two guys fuck around, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. So go watch that, the Max Headroom incident. And then on Wednesday, November 25th, 1987, Three Men and a Baby.
Oh, right.
It was directed by Leonard Nimoy. That was the highest grossing movie
of
the year.
Was it directed by Leonard Nimoy?
Yeah, it really was.
I didn't know that.
Highest grossing movie of 1987. Three Men and a Friggin' Baby.
I saw that.
But the best thing about this movie, you can't talk about this movie without talking about that creepy ghost.
Yes, the
you
ghost.
Remember that scene, the ghost of the little boy?
It's really a cardboard cutout.
Yeah, so there's a rumor that the ghost in the scene, it's in the doorway. It's like in the doorway or in the window or something in the background. I remember watching this as a kid.
Do remember seeing it?
Oh, yeah. I remember watching it. We'd watch it. We'd pause it. And be like, look, it's a ghost. Oh, my God. And, you know, we didn't have the internet then.
Yeah.
Debunk stuff immediately. But the rumor was that this was a ghost of a little boy who died in that apartment when the film was shot. He didn't die while the film was shot, but he died in that apartment. They shot it in that apartment after he died, and he showed up. But the rumor is false, as the interiors were all shot on a soundstage in a movie studio. The ghost is actually a cardboard cutout of Jack wearing a tuxedo. This prop appeared later in the movie when Mary's mother comes to collect her.
Yeah.
You can see that. So, yeah, it's not. But I remember feeling real creepy thinking that was a
ghost. Thinking it was a real ghost.
Or watching it somewhere. And I was like, oh, my God, that's so creepy.
That's funny. I never heard about it until much later when I was an adult. And
I remember being a kid when we watched it on VHS and we paused it and everything. And
wow.
Yep.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah. And then Thursday, November 26th, 1987 was Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a new wrestling pay-per-view that the WWF decided to come out with to compete with one of the WCW ones, and this became a staple
for
years to come. It's called Survivor Series.
All right.
And the way Survivor Series works, honey, is really ingenious. So they get teams of wrestlers, not just a tag team of two, but it's 5-on-5. It's five guys against five guys, and it's not just somebody gets pinned, the match is over, and there's one team that wins. If you get pinned, you are gone. And the rest of your teammates keep wrestling. So if you get pinned, your four teammates now have to fight the five guys on the other team.
Right.
If one of them gets pinned, then it's 4-on-4.
I get it.
If two of them get pinned, then it's 3-on-5, you know, until there's one lone survivor. Or until a whole team wins, or one team's eliminated, really.
What prevents somebody from pinning somebody who's pinning somebody?
What do you mean?
So if one guy's sitting there pinning another guy?
Yeah, and they're counting one.
And then why doesn't somebody come and pin on top of him?
Because his shoulders aren't down.
Oh, you got to have your shoulders down.
You get pinned with your shoulders down.
Oh.
That guy can't be pinned if he's pinning somebody else.
Unless he pushes him forward.
You could. There have been, I'm sure there's been ones where the guy pins him, and as soon as he gets up, that guy gets pinned.
Yeah.
Or they get
But you can't pin somebody who's pinning somebody.
They can get counted out. Okay. Disqualified. Like if you hit someone with a bell, you're disqualified and then you're out.
A bell? Where do you get a bell from? Well,
they ring the bell to start the match. Ding, 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 ding.
So somebody's been hit with that thing?
Oh, lots of times. The bell is a common.
Wrong with this, people?
It's a common thing to hit somebody with. Knock them out.
The bell?
The bell. Ding, 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 ding.
I think people need to be in a padded cell. I swear. What?
No, it's a sport.
No, it's not.
But in the first ever Survivor Series, Brutus Beefcake, Jake the Snake Roberts, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Randy Macho Man Savage, and Ricky Steamboat with Miss Elizabeth defeated Dangerous Danny Davis, the King Harley Race, Hercules, the Honky Tonk Man, and the Outlaw Ron Bass with Bobby Heenan and Jimmy Hart. That was a great match. I mean, right there, yeah. That is wrestling.
That's
right
for
there.
Those
are the greatest. That's the greatest team ever. Beefcake, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw, Macho, and Ricky Steamboat, who he just fought at WrestleMania. You know, for the greatest match ever was Ricky Steamboat and Macho Man. Now they're both in the same match.
I'm telling Ric Flair.
Woo!
I'm telling him you said that this was the greatest one.
He'll admit it. Although he and Dusty Rhodes had some classic bouts back in the day, both of them covered in blood.
Jeez.
But you got to get him on Ric Flair on this podcast. But that wasn't even the headlining match. The headlining match was, of course, Hulk Hogan. It was Bam Bam Bigelow, Don the Rock Morocco, Hulk Hogan, Ken Patera, and Paul Orndorff with Oliver Humperdinck. They were defeated by
Albert Humperdinck,
Andre the Giant, Butch Reed, King Kong Bundy, One Man Gang, and Rick Rude.
I remember King Kong Bundy.
You do? Those guys were all huge fat guys.
Yeah, I remember him from wrestling at the Chase.
You do?
Yeah.
Did he have hair then?
It was another one of those. There was nothing on TV. It was a Sunday. And the only other thing was religious shows. I think we talked about this.
So when you say wrestling at the Chase,
yeah.
You didn't go to that.
No, it was on TV.
Oh, it was just on TV.
Yeah, it was on TV.
And you would watch guys wrestle as a kid?
We talked about that. The only other thing was church shows.
I know. I just can't picture you sitting there looking at a screen of guys wrestling.
Yep, I did.
You never watch it here. So you're an old school wrestling fan.
No, I wasn't a fan. It was the only thing on besides Jerry Falwell.
So you wouldn't turn it off and read a book?
I guess not.
With your paper dolls or something?
I was probably doing both.
You're wacky, but I'm glad you know who King Kong Bundy is.
All right.
That makes me respect you more. And then on Saturday, November 28th, still all this alien stuff's happening to these guys. Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes have the top song.
Don't know who that is.
Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes?
Nope. It's
from Dirty Dancing. We already covered this.
I had the time of our lives.
Wednesday, December 2nd?
Yes. He was woken up.
On Wednesday, December 2nd?
In the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night? So
yeah.
Before he went to bed that night, he was probably watching Hooperman on ABC.
Hooperman.
Remember Hooperman?
Sort of.
Not Hooperman. Hooperman.
Yeah.
Freewheeling San Francisco cop Harry Hooperman inherits a rundown apartment building and the building owner's mean, hateful, and just plain annoying dog, Bijou. Not having the time to maintain the building and tend to his police work, Hooperman hires feisty aspiring writer Susan Smith as his superintendent maintenance person. He and Smith soon begin a relationship.
I never watched that program.
And the series chronicles the ups and downs of the relationship along with Hooperman's efforts as a policeman. Do you know who starred in that?
No.
John Ritter.
Oh.
John friggin' Ritter.
I love John Ritter.
Oh, he was great. Rest in peace. But I don't remember him being a cop on Hooperman at all.
No, I never watched that show.
And also that night, the Slap Maxwell story, starring Dabney Coleman was on.
No, I
didn't. Slap Maxwell. So they watched those shows and then went to bed.
And then he wakes up because he thinks he hears the pool pump still running.
Oh, the pool pump. I swear I was going to turn that off after Slap Maxwell.
Then he hears the voices in his head again. And this time they're speaking Spanish.
Oh, Guantanamo.
And so he gets on the floor, like he falls off the bed.
Yeah.
And he's on the floor next to the bed.
Yeah.
And he grabs his gun. He's got all these guns he's starting to keep all over the house because he's getting paranoid.
As you should.
And then he wakes up his wife and he drags her down to the ground with him. Mm. He grabs his gun. And he gets his camera, and he starts crawling on his hands and knees toward the front door, and his wife is behind him.
Yeah.
And then he opens the door, and he crawls under the porch, and there's this. Their dog is on the porch, who normally barks like nuts, and right now the dog's just like laying there, and he's like,
really?
Crystal, Crystal, and the dog won't wake up.
The dog's name is Crystal?
Yeah.
The dog's dead?
No, but the dog won't wake up. So this soft glow starts coming out.
So he's crawled out onto the porch. Yeah. His dog won't wake up.
Yeah, and the soft glow starts to come out of the darkness. And
the glow comes out of nowhere.
It starts like the size of a dime, and it goes to the size of his pool in about 2 minutes.
Oh, no. So it's an above-ground pool?
Yeah, I believe so.
Of course, white trash Florida.
Yeah, so he runs into the house and slams the door.
Yeah.
Gets his camera and goes back outside, and he took the 10th picture before the UFO disappeared.
Really? And these pictures are all online available?
Yep, they are. So he knew the pool pump sound was the UFO humming. So he unplugged all his appliances in his house after that happened.
Oh, no, so it was VCR that was set to tape.
Yep, everything was the Slap unplugged. Maxwell story. Anything that might give a hum, he unplugged.
Oh, man, he was gonna miss the Golden Girls in a couple days.
So a few hours later, his dog barked once, and it woke Ed up. He takes his gun and his camera. He goes to the screen porch that overlooks the pool. And he pulls up his blinds, and there's this 4-foot-tall gray looking at him.
It's a gray alien. Gray is what we call a gray alien, the classic gray.
Are you a member of MUFON?
No, I mean just people. People who are expert alien likers. No, yes. No, people call them a gray. That's a slang term I learned recently because I started looking up alien stuff when one time you did an alien thing. So I looked up all these, and that's a common term. But
yes, that's right.
A layman might not have ever heard a gray.
That's right. You got to explain that.
That's a classic like drawing you see of an alien.
So he was holding
still on December 2nd?
Yeah.
Still the same day that Hustler magazine sued Jerry Falwell?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so the gray is holding a glowing silver rod. He has a helmet on, and he wore this little outfit. And so Ed screams and falls back. Then points his pistol at him, but the creature just looks at him with big, sad, wet eyes. He said his eyes looked real big and kind of wet.
Sad?
He looked sad. His scream woke up Frances, who also saw it.
She saw it, too?
Yep. She said she saw
it, too. That's the wife. Frances is the wife?
His wife.
She saw it, too.
Yep. And then it walked out of their view. So he ran to the door to unlock it and ran after the creature, but had forgotten to pick up his gun and his camera at that point. As he approached the creature, the craft flashed a blue beam and grabbed Ed's leg and started to raise it off the ground.
Yeah.
And it began to, again, lift him off the ground. And so he grabs onto the screen door, and Francis grabs onto him and pulls him back into the house, and then the craft flies off.
It just gives up and flies off.
Yep, again.
Wow. And so it's like a crappy like.
Yeah, it's like training aliens.
It's like aliens who don't know what they're doing. Like, they're not very powerful yet. It's like kids or something. Yeah. It's child aliens.
Just child aliens.
They're just like, they're 16 and they just got their license don't know how to.
That's a good one.
Do anything.
So,
And then Saturday, December 5th, Belinda Carlisle takes over the number one spot. Oh, meanwhile, on December 2nd, that same day, Hustler magazine defeated Jerry Falwell in a court case because Jerry Falwell was suing him, saying that he was harmed by Hustler magazine making fun of him in cartoons.
Oh.
And the court says that it's their free speech
right
to make fun of Jerry Falwell. And December 5th, Belinda Carlisle has a number one song.
Mm-hmm.
They say heaven and just like heaven. We'll make heaven a place on earth.
That's right.
And also on Saturday, December 5th, Golden Girls was on.
Okay, so that day as well, the aliens show up in a different craft.
At night?
At night.
So just after Golden Girls was over, it was an episode where the girls go to group therapy to deal with the growing problems in their friendship.
Okay.
And also on 227, Calvin and his friend Eddie are about to fail history, so they have a tutor help them. When the tutor is an attractive young woman who inadvertently distracts them, Mary and Rose decide to help them. When both of their efforts fail, Lester decides to help out. Unfortunately, the boys still fail their final exam. Mary helps them get a second chance, but it's up to the Jenkins to get the boys back on track.
Okay.
So 227 and Golden Girls were on.
All right.
227 is a place to be with Marla Gibbs and a family.
So
I had to say that.
The aliens are back in this much larger craft.
Aliens are back.
And so they
tell after Golden Girls and 227.
They tell Ed, do not resist, you're in danger.
Do not resist, you are in danger.
Ed pointed his pistol at the UFO, and then the UFO flashed up and left again.
Oh, so he was afraid of his pistol.
I guess.
Did he hold it sideways like a
Think so. He's like a 40-year-old contractor.
I'm 40.
Yeah,
hold it sideways like a Gat. December 7th, ALF was a number 10 show that year. Alf is frustrated because he can't vote in the presidential election, okay. And he watches a televised debate with Kate, and he offers his better ideas on how to solve the world's problems. Then Kate goes to sleep and has some weird nightmares, and one of her nightmares involves Alf running for president and rapping at a debate and handing John McLaughlin a wiener on a stick.
A wiener, you know,
from
on
McLaughlin
a stick.
Group? Remember McLaughlin Group?
Yeah.
Wrong!
Yeah.
He was a special guest on Alf.
Okay.
And Lynn on that show, her boyfriend worked at a wiener on a stick place.
Oh.
And so that was why they
Do you remember that much about Alf?
I looked it up.
Oh, okay. Because I do not remember that.
And then also on December 7th, Pacific Southwest Airlines Flight 1771 crashes near Paso Robles, California, killing all 43 on board after a disgruntled passenger shoots his ex-supervisor on the flight, then shoots both pilots and himself.
Oh, my God. And yeah. So then everybody died.
Everybody died because he's crazy guy. Can you believe that happened?
No.
I don't remember ever hearing about that.
Yeah, I don't hear about that.
And then December 12th, George Michael takes over the charts and it's kind of reinvented himself with this song.
I will be your album. Father figure. No, that was
Bigger,
in the 90s.
Bigger. It's the whole name of the album and everything.
Faith.
Faith.
You gotta have faith.
Gotta have faith. The faith.
I
the faith.
Gotta have faith.
I gotta have faith. It held the number one position on the Billboard charts for 4 weeks. It was the number one single of the year.
Mm-hmm.
In 1988, I guess. It was the number one single of the year in the United States in 1988.
No, is it the same album that has I Want Your Sex?
Oh, yeah, this is number one from December 12th, 1987, all the way to January 8th, 1988. Yeah, I Want Your Sex. Yep, I think is on there, too.
That's such a bizarre. I watched that video recently.
Really? Did you?
Yeah, it was like.
Could you tell he was gay?
Yes.
I don't remember that
He's
video.
Trying to kiss this Asian chick.
Yeah, it just doesn't look real.
Just looks so fake. Yeah.
But, you know, one thing about George Michael, like, he wrote all the stuff himself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He was talented. Yeah, he was talented, and he could sing. I mean, these were catchy songs and good songs, and he could sing, and he could play guitar. I mean,
he was very talented.
I mean,
everyone
says Madonna's so great. She didn't write any of her own songs. Like, I mean, they're all written by other people.
I don't think so.
George Michael wrote every single one I've looked up. It's like, oh, this was written by so-and-so for somebody else. Then they gave it to Madonna at the last minute.
Yeah, maybe you might be right.
So George Michael, like, I'm pretty impressed. Like, everything he wrote, his own stuff. The whole album was written, arranged, and produced by him.
So Ed awakes again in the night.
Ed awakes on December 17th?
Yes.
This time after watching a Cosby show where Cliff is excited to take Rudy and six of her friends to see a Salute to Vaudeville show. And they're the only ones in the audience. And the children are not the best audience and they're not impressed. And then Cliff rapes a bunch of people.
Yes, that's right. So he awakes with this flash inside his head. And he looks up and beside his bed are three dark figures. And then there's more shadowy figures moving toward the bed.
Do you think any of them were Bill Cosby putting something in his
drink? Maybe it could have been. They turned quickly and left the room as soon as he woke up. But the same intense hum hit him, and he slumped over. And Frances woke up, and all she saw was Ed struggling with his blankets.
And she didn't see any of the people or anything, so it was just all a dream.
So he grabbed his camera, and he went outside and shot photo number 13.
Maybe it was Bill Cosby giving him a Zerbit.
Could be.
Remember the Zerbits?
So this strange liquid shoots out of the UFO.
Oh, the UFO's there.
He
doesn't have his camera this
time? He does.
Pictures?
He just took picture 13,
I gotta see these pictures.
And then it shoots this liquid onto the ground. So Ed gathered up the liquid and put it in a tub.
A tub? It filled a tub?
For future examination,
A tub, like not a bathtub.
No, like a butter tub or something.
Like a butter tub.
Yeah.
Filled with a liquid.
So over...
Where's it? These aliens are just fucking with him. So it is like high school aliens. It's like 16-year-old aliens. They just got their license. They just keep fucking with this dude.
Yeah, they're young. Yeah. So over 30 people also reported seeing UFOs in the Gulf Breeze area.
In that same area?
Yeah, during that same time.
Really?
Patrick Hanks was a friend of Ed's son and college student who also saw a UFO in Ed's presence. He decided to drop by. Francis opened the door and pointed to the back of the house and said, "It's here." Patrick saw the craft through the windows hovering, and Ed came in and looked at Patrick, and the UFO flew off.
So now that's three people that have seen it.
That's
right?
Supposedly, yeah. So then the MUFON gets involved, which is the Mutual UFO Network.
That's the real thing?
It
Mutual
is.
UFO Network. MUFON?
MUFON. They arrive after seeing it in the newspaper.
Really?
They figure out who he is. They went... To figure out who he was, they went to all the backyards and were just like trying to take pictures to see like from the same vantage point as the one in the newspaper. And that's how they were going to try to figure out whose backyard it was. So without getting anybody's permission or anything, they just went into all these backyards and were shooting pictures of the sky.
And then trying to see
which one looks just like the backyard.
From the stars or the...
Like the landscaping, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that stupid?
That's weird.
So,
Well, how else would you find him back then?
Right. So they find out it was Ed, and they approach him, and they offer to help. Then on January 12th, he started to hum? he heard the hum again. Mm. But he had to go to work, so he got in his truck, and he was driving down.
Why'd you still go to work? Well, I know. Crazy aliens, I'll just go to work.
So he's driving down this country road, and everything becomes bright white, and he feels numb.
It's following him?
When he looks behind him, he sees the UFO accelerate past and keep pace with his truck.
Oh, no.
As he stops at the side of the road, he grabs his shotgun and camera, but his hands are numb, so he can't hardly hold them.
Yeah.
So he rolls out, and he shoots picture number 19, then scrambles under his truck. The blue beam shot.
You know what would be neat? To look all these pictures up, and then as you're listening to our podcast, you talk about which picture.
Yeah.
You can look at the picture while you're talking about it.
Right. So.
I'm going to look this up.
Then he, this blue beam shoots out in front of the truck and starts depositing aliens on the ground. They were 4 foot tall grays, and they were holding silver rods, and they began to move toward Ed. So then he scrambled up into the truck and sped away, but he didn't take any pictures of the aliens.
They were like sending an army after him.
Yeah. So the next morning.
Of punk kids.
Yeah. The next morning, the men in black show up at Ed's house.
We are the men in black. Is that the MUFA?
No, the men in black, nobody knows who they are.
Oh, it really is supposed to be the men in black.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they show up. They walk in and say that they were from the Air Force Security Services, and they had to seize his photos. He claims
what?
That. And so he tells them that he gave them all to the Sentinel. And so they're not happy about it, but they leave.
Oh, they do leave.
Yeah.
Was it actually Tommy Lee
and right.
Jones?
You could be. But by the
Tommy
time
Tommy Lee and Mick Mars?
By the time that 12th sighting occurred, MUFON had set up a full-on surveillance of Ed's house. So they were...
Who has MUFON?
MUFON.
Okay.
And they gave
and these
him,
guys, MUFON is not anything like Men in Black, like
they're
government.
Just alien
they're
just enthusiasts.
Like, they're like guys, nerdy guys that love aliens.
Yeah.
Like they're not like any government employees or
but
anything.
But they did give him a tamper-proof camera to take pictures with.
They did?
Where like the lens was glued in or something like that.
And he used it?
And yeah, he used it for some
Polaroid?
Of the later ones. No, it wasn't a Polaroid. It was...
Where can we find these pictures? Are you can tell
you
us
go
that
Gulf,
later?
Gulf Breeze UFO incident and do Google Images.
Gulf Breeze UFO incident?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then January 21st... At 10:30, Ed was walking to the van to deliver an item. As he was walking, he heard the hum again. He told the guy from MUFON to get his camera ready on a walkie-talkie. So the guy gets the camera ready but points it in the wrong direction.
And, so the guy from MUFON points
it
in the wrong direction.
And Ed yells at him because he's not close by. Like, the guy's in the surveillance truck, and he has a walkie-talkie, and he says, get ready. And then the guy... gets his camera ready, points it in the wrong direction. As soon as Ed sees that, he yells at him to look to the south instead, and the UFO winked out of sight before the guy could see it.
Really?
Then on January 24th, Ed heard a hum as he was pulling in his driveway. He goes and picks up the journalist from the Sentinel, and the guy's name was Dwayne, and he starts filming as soon as Ed's pulling in his driveway.
Yeah.
And then the voice in Ed's head started to say, in sleep, you know. Ed felt this twisting pulling in his brain. He pulled over and he got out of the car and fell to the ground. And then Dwayne was like hovering over him, looking at him.
Yeah.
And Ed was looking up at Dwayne and he saw the UFO like right above Dwayne's head.
Yeah.
And
Dwayne didn't see it?
He took a picture right then.
Yeah.
And then the UFO winked out of sight. So Dwayne didn't see it, but Dwayne claims that he was there and he saw Ed do that.
He saw him take the picture.
Take the picture.
But Dwayne couldn't see the UFO.
No. It was because then it winked out of sight again. So then the 13th sighting, Ed was in the shower. And Francis comes into the bathroom and says, the UFO's back.
Gosh.
And so he runs and he grabs a towel and he runs out into the night. And the UFO hovers over the house. And then they were saying, we are here for you, sleep and know. And then they left again.
Sleep and know.
Yeah.
Like you'll know things in your sleep?
I don't know. So 12 days after that, it shows up again. And so Ed runs outside. The blue beam comes down and Ed took a picture. Then he grabbed his daughter and slammed the door and the whole family crawled into the hallway. So he like took the picture and then he ran in and he grabbed everybody and made sure. And then the final encounter was on May 1st, 1988. His wife was out of town, and he took his special camera that MUFON had given him.
Yeah.
At 12:30 a.m., he heard the hum, and then he saw the UFO and took two shots of it, and the craft moved right above him, and a blinding light came down. And then the next thing, he was on the ground about 20 feet away, and it was a few hours later. So his right hand smelled really bad, too.
Well, that could be from anything.
I know.
Because we failed to mention, he also just doesn't use toilet paper, just wipes with his bare hand.
Yeah, that's right.
But so that's just
that could be from thing. That. Yeah, that could it be definitely from that. Could.
Because if you did that, that would smell bad.
But there's that missing time. You know how they love time.
That's true.
That's a big thing. And so
he just wiped a lot.
And then he goes back to his house, and he finds a bump at the back of his neck and bruises on his face. And he couldn't get the smell off his hands.
Man.
And he found little bits of black under his nails. Yeah, it was different.
Yeah, it's hard to get the poop out of your nails.
That's right.
Wiping with your bare hands.
So he goes and gets hypnotized to see.
As you would. Right. It's the 80s, after all.
So through the hypnosis, Ed starts to believe that he's being abducted by aliens. And he recovers all these dozens and dozens of memories of actual abductions.
Have you seen this picture of F-15 UFO? Like, part of these Gulf Breeze photos is F-15 with a UFO. Have you seen that?
No.
Or it's like an airplane intercepting it, trying to intercept it.
Oh, really?
That's crazy. Anyway.
So Ed passed two polygraph tests about the whole event.
He did?
Yeah. There are some definite skeptics and debunkers.
Yeah.
And many claim Ed made the whole thing up. After he moved away, there was this model that was found in his attic.
I found pictures of these. Yeah, people found the model. Yeah, and they think he was just faking all these. The model looks just like the UFO picture.
But he says that somebody else made that to make him look like a liar. People have seen the video. He doesn't put the video online, but people have seen the video of the thing about the road when he's on the road or whatever.
Yeah.
They say that this looks like bad acting.
Oh, really?
That's one thing. And then a neighbor says that when he was a boy, he helped Ed stage the pictures. But the neighbor was, at the time he said that, running against Ed in a city council election. So...
Why was Ed running in a city council election?
I don't know.
Why was the neighbor who helped him running against him?
Yeah. So that's the story of the Gulf Breeze UFO incident.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they all kind of, unfortunately, involve crazy people. But I think that's because the aliens know. They just make somebody crazy.
Well, maybe it makes you crazy to see it.
It probably does. And especially if they're harassing them like these words.
Yeah.
They just kept coming back and fucking with them
all the time.
So because they probably know. All you'd have to do is drive them crazy and no one will believe them.
That's right. That's right.
But why don't they just want to be found? Just come on. Come on down here. We can handle
it. Well, I don't know if we can handle it.
You don't think we can
handle it? No, I think people would go nuts.
We can handle anything, can't we?
No, I don't think so. You know, have you seen the kind of people that we live around?
Yeah, they're fine. They're fine with...
they can't even handle if your color of your skin is a little different.
Yeah, that's true. I guess that's
total right. Shit fit.
Yeah, but Alf. Everyone handled an Alf thing.
Alf was a puppet, honey.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think that is...
Yeah, we might as well end it.
1987 in a large, large nutshell.
Yeah, I got nothing left. I really blew my 87 wad.
Yep, me too. I spent it.
I spent it on the Matthew Broderick murdering people.
Yeah, that was nuts.
A murderer.
Crazy nuts. So you blew my mind with that, baby.
I blew your mind, baby.
You sure did.
Not every day that I can tell you a Matthew Broderick murdering story that you've never heard before.
Sounded like something you made up.
Nope. It's true.
Wow.
Google it. And Google, definitely, if you get a chance, Google that alien stuff.
Gulf Breeze UFO incident.
The Gulf Breeze UFO incident. Look at the pictures, because I'm really on the fence. Like, most of them do look fake, I'd say. But, I don't know. It sounds like a true story, kind
of. What if he... Like embellished it, like it started out to be fake and then it came real.
My thing is, like, if that person helped him make, let's fake these, you know, what motivation does his wife have to go along with
right.
it? Or is she crazy too? Like, I wonder if you sat down with these people and met them.
You'd be able to tell right away.
You'd be like, oh, God, they're batshit crazy.
Yeah.
Of course. You know, so I'd like to read more about that too, but I can't read. So.
Well, or the other thing is maybe it really did happen, but he wanted people to believe him, so he.
He made more
made
of
more,
it than it was.
Yeah.
So maybe it happened one time, but he wanted to.
Yeah, maybe that. Because you know how police will do that sometimes to fit the crime.
Yeah,
or
maybe.
Fit the crime to the criminal kind of thing.
I don't know. It seems crazy, though, that nobody else would have seen that. All the people in the neighborhood, or was it a lonely
There was 30 other sightings, though, reported
That's true.
Around that same time.
That's true. I mean, what would you do? If I saw one today, what would I do? Who would I report it to?
I know.
I don't even know.
Right. You just would talk about it.
You don't want to go to the news because they're going to think you're nuts.
You don't want to go to the police because they're going to think you're
nuts. You can't talk about it at work. They'll think you're nuts. So you can't really talk about it.
Especially if it came real close to you like that.
Yeah, we need to start our own club.
No, I don't want not want an alien visitation. No, it's time to get out of here.
Yeah, we've wasted too much time talking about this. So
like us, rate us, review us. Thank you for listening. Yeah,
do we even have to say that anymore? Just they're going to do what they're going to do anyway. Yes, so just do it or don't do it. Who gives a shit?
It's still good to say where we find us on
who cares?
Twitter and Facebook.
We're
going
to keep doing this podcast if we want to, so we don't give a shit if you like it or not. That's so right. Up yours, everybody.
All right. Time to get out of here, Chuck Berry.
All you white people, stop listening. I'm tired of white people.
Oh, stop. You haven't done that in a while.
I haven't alienated anybody, so I figured just the entire white race, I'd like to stop listening.
All right, there we go.
Yep, so get... Oh shit, Chuck Berry's in here again. He's got a camera. He's looking at us in the bathroom.
He's trying to find aliens.
Little known fact, we record.
I got some aliens right here.
We record all these podcasts. Those are pubes.
That's not what I was thinking.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were. We record all these podcasts in the bathroom. By the way, Chuck Berry, get out of here.
Get out of here, Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry. Matt Truman. Oh, wait, Matt Truman's got a new album out.
American Timelines, the greatest podcast ever.